Sermon title this morning is Experiencing God. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 14, we have to ask ourselves, are we living life to experience God? Did we get up today with the faith that we will see God and experience Him? Here when we're at church, this morning when we're getting ready, and today when we go home, do we have the faith that we're going to experience God? Did we come to church just to learn about God? Or did we come to church to experience Him? See, when it comes to learning, we can learn all that we want about something. We can study and we can check things and we can find every possible angle, but until we experience it, the learning is not complete. The knowledge is not full. Just like I found out, you don't know what it's like to be a parent until you have a child. You don't know how to love a child. And so you have that child. You can learn all about it, but you can't do it. You can babysit for somebody, but until you have a child that relies on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you don't know what it's like. A little simpler analogy. Paul, when was the first time you shot a gun? You were young, weren't you? Yeah, just a little guy. You don't know what it's like to shoot that gun. When I grew up, my family likes to hunt. The first time I shot the 12-gauge, Dad wasn't even around. I was like, I want to shoot the 12-gauge. Lucas was there. I had heard it fire. I'd seen how you load the shell. I knew how to put it in place. I knew how the gun felt, but until I pulled the trigger and felt that recoil against my shoulder and the next morning looked at that bruise, I didn't know what it was like to shoot that gun. See, learning about God is like sitting at the table for Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas dinner. Who likes to eat? Who likes really, really, really good food? I like really, really, really good food, and sometimes I don't know when to stop. But learning about God is like you're sitting at that table and you've got this beautiful feast spread out before you, and you look at all these different dishes, and I'm a potatoes guy. I love potatoes. Meat and potatoes, that's a staple. Has to be there. And so Grandma makes her hash brown potatoes, and then we have cheesy mashed potatoes, and then we have some sort of potato casserole, and then au gratin potatoes, and you look at all these things, and they look good. Well, they look good. They smell good. Ooh, you can kind of experience just a little bit there. They smell good. They look good. They feel good. But learning about God is just sitting at that table, just looking at that food. Experiencing God is when you take a bite. There's things that you can't learn until you eat that food. There's things that you just can't experience. No matter how hard you smell, no matter how much you look, and how much you crave it in your mouth waters until you take a bite and you feel the texture and you feel the taste and you feel it slide down your throat into your starving stomach because you haven't eaten in 5 hours. You know, you've been snacking all morning. This is Thanksgiving. Until you do that, you just don't know. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 25 here, Jesus makes the disciples get into a boat and tells them, go on the other side of the lake. So the disciples go on to the other side of the lake, and Jesus goes up on a mountainside by himself to pray, to connect with God, to experience God. When they went to the other side, they anchored the boat, and because of the waves, it buffeted it and buffeted it, and they went off the shore. So they're out in the middle of the lake again, not quite in the middle, but they're not on the shore. And it's starting in verse 25, it says, during the fourth watch of the night, I don't know what that means, but they've been there for four watches. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Oh, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples in that boat learned about Jesus' power that night, but only Peter experienced Jesus in his faith to walk on the water. Not only did he experience that in his faith, but he also experienced Christ's mercy when he saved him and plucked him from his lack of faith. See, until I experienced God's mercy and the Holy Spirit enveloping my body and soul, it was like I was learning about the food. I was smelling the food, I was looking at the food, and I was hungry and I was weary. But just learning about the food wasn't filling me, and it wasn't taking away that thirst. I was so weak, and no matter what I did, I wasn't getting better. Until I took that first bite, I was just sitting in the boat like those disciples watching Peter walk on the water. For 14 years of my life, I spent it in the boat just watching, experiencing God through other people, learning about God through other people, but not through his work in me. See, sometimes we're afraid to taste and see that the Lord is good, so we just keep learning about God. But when Peter climbed out of the boat, and when Peter let go of that wood that he was holding on to, by letting go of that wood, he let go of any control that he had on that situation. Because being in the boat is like us controlling our lives. Saying, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go here. I'm not going to let you in that far because if you take over, I've seen what you do to people. Aren't we people of control by nature? Isn't that part of what makes faith faith, is letting go of that control? When Peter was in that boat, he was in control. All of those disciples that sat in there and watched, what do you think they were thinking when he hopped over the edge and let go and started walking on the water? I bet a lot of them wanted to do that too, but maybe they just couldn't quite let go of that control. But for Peter at that moment, his fears of not experiencing God became less than the fear of the rest of his life, knowing that he had missed his chance to experience Jesus on the water. He chose to experience God over the comfort of what he already knew, that the boat floats. Isn't that true for us? Sometimes we feel the Spirit nudging, like what Bob talked about today. We feel pulled and we feel called. The Spirit's calling us. But we sit in the boat because maybe we're afraid of being embarrassed. Maybe we're afraid of standing out and not fitting in. Maybe we're afraid of what it's going to do to us if we really experience. Because we've heard that it's life-changing, haven't we? Haven't we heard that if you let the Holy Spirit come over you and let Jesus in your heart and let God take care of you, he's going to send you overseas into missions. I know that fear. I don't feel that I'm really called to be in missions, but I know that if I give myself totally to God, he can change my heart. And at this point, I'm in the boat. I know America. I know Iowa. I'm in the boat. Peter chose to experience God even though it made him vulnerable. Once he let go of that boat, all that he had was Jesus. And he knew it. But whose life and whose faith was changed the most through that experience? I tell you, those disciples, their faith was changed. Those in that boat, their faith was greater. They learned something else about Jesus that day, and that he could walk on water. Not only about that, but he could make somebody else walk on water. But Peter learned that through Christ, I can walk on water. The disciples saw that somebody else could walk on water, and Peter saw that I can do this through Christ. Through his faith and through his power, I can do it. And his faith was changed the most that night, I guarantee it. The first time that I really experienced God was when I gave him control of my heart. I had been learning about God my whole life, but not experiencing him. I went to church. I went to Sunday school almost every Sunday, except for when I was sick. I went to youth group. I wore a cross around my neck. I read my Bible sometimes. I prayed most of the time. I learned about Jesus. I learned about God, but I didn't experience him until I was 14 years old. I sat in that boat. And it was cold that week. And it was way too cold for June. And it had been raining all week. And we were tired. And we were at the camp. And there's a whole big group of us. And we had been running and sliding outside. And then it came in time for chapel. And we came inside. And it was a simple chapel. And it was cold. One young man was playing the guitar. And two men were speaking. When we centered down and listened to the message, we could just feel that the Spirit was heavy in the room, and that it was moving hearts, and people were walking up front to the altar, and people were kneeling down, and people were experiencing that vulnerability as they let God take their hearts. Because what's hard about that? Because we're sinners, and we know it. We've got yucky stuff inside, don't we? We've got junk in there that is vulnerable to expose to anybody. When we come to church, I guarantee that we all put something away. But to do that and go up in front of everybody, to open yourself to God, to really experience God, you're leaving that control, because then he knows everything about you. He does anyway. But when you give it to him, you're stepping out of that boat, saying, Jesus, all I have is you. I could feel the Spirit nudging me, tugging at me, like the scent of the feast calls to you to eat. The Holy Spirit was nudging and pulling and calling to me. It was saying, come, surrender to my life. You've spent 14 years learning about me, but I want you to experience me. 14 years, Nathan, you sat in the boat. Now it's time for you to come and walk with me. Don't watch me anymore. Step out and walk. Please. I still had to step out of the boat. I still had to let go. And it was hard because it takes faith. But I could feel the Spirit had me that whole time. At that moment, all my fears became less. And the fear of not experiencing God became greater. It's amazing what you can do when the things that you fear become less than another fear of not doing. As we knelt at the altar that night, we were soaked from the rain and we were soaked from our tears. They were tears of surrender, tears of hope, tears of gladness, tears of unspeakable joy, of humbleness, of repentance. There were tears of love. And at that moment, my true education of God began. One moment experiencing God taught me more than 14 years of watching God did. I am not an old man. I do not have a lot of wisdom, but I do know that I have experienced the Lord, and that one moment is greater than anybody who goes through their whole life and doesn't. If you don't step out on the boat, you don't know what the waves feel like. If you don't let go of the boat, you don't know what it's like to put your life in somebody else's hands. Even though we learn that God is faithful, and even though we learn that God has us, and even though we learn that he will never let us go until we let go, it's like a free fall backwards. You know somebody's there to catch you, but you still have to fall. You don't have to be mature. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to have a certain background to experience God. You don't have to try to clean up your sin, your mistakes, or fix your weaknesses and try to become worthy of experiencing God, because we cannot do it. We can't become worthy of God. We can't become worthy of stepping out of the boat. Peter didn't say, well, I'm going to take some lessons on swimming first. I'm going to learn how to walk on water before I walk on water with you out here, Lord. Can't be done. For his faith to grow that night, he had to get out of the boat and he had to experience it. It didn't matter who he was. It didn't matter, obviously, where any of those disciples had come from, because they were sinners. They were tax collectors. They were lowly, and the Pharisees looked down on all of them. Just as we are sinners, aren't we? Am I a sinner? You better believe I'm a sinner. Am I saved by the grace of God? Yes, I am. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a leader in the church. You don't have to be a faithful prayer warrior, a faithful Bible reader, or a faithful devotioner to experience God. You don't need a miracle or an earth-shaking event to experience God. You just have to be willing to have faith and listen when he says, "Eat my food." Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of things unseen. At that point, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he had to be sure of what he hoped for. He had to be sure that he hoped he could walk on the water and experience Christ in that way. He had to be sure of that. And he had to be certain of what wasn't seen, was how Jesus was going to keep him from sinking into those waves. Do you think that after he did it once, he could do it again? I bet if he had another opportunity, he would do it and he wouldn't look down, because his faith had grown. Peter was sure in his hope to have a deeper experience and was certain, even though he did not yet know how Christ would make him float. That's what faith is. So God is here in this church, and he's here and he wants you to experience him. Peter didn't just hop out of the boat, he called to Jesus. Do we overlook that in the scripture? It says, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me and I will come to you on the water." He didn't just hop out of the boat and said, "Here I come, Lord, I'm coming to experience you." He asked Jesus to let him experience him. Very, very key verse in this passage right here. "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come on the water." He was saying, "Lord, I am ready to experience you. Call to me. I have faith that you've got me, and it is worth it." Just like we say during our time of silent worship, do you call out to God and say, "Holy Spirit, Father God, let me experience you"? Or do we sit here? Peter shows us that we can be proactive. We can say, "Lord, if it is you, call me." We can pray for God to call us. I prayed for God to call me. I prayed for him to call me, and the time came. And at that one moment, I don't know, I would spend my whole life regretting not walking up to that altar, not giving my life to Christ. And when he called me here to Bangor Liberty and my family, I would be dead inside if I was still back in Ohio putting wood on a wall. Even though it didn't make sense when God called me here. I'm 27 years old. I did not go to seminary. I went to a Christian college. I don't have wisdom of the ages. I have the Bible. Interpretation is only from the Spirit. My messages only come from the Spirit. That's scary. Because when the week goes by and it's Saturday night, and you've prayed every day that week, and the Spirit said, "Wait." And the Spirit said, "Wait. I'm going to do something on Sunday." And the Spirit said, "Wait." And then he says, "Now come. Now's your time." Stepping out of the boat doesn't mean you're going into ministry either. It doesn't mean you're going into missions. It just says, "Lord, I'm ready to experience you." With the faith that no matter where you take me is going to be far greater than if I don't. When was the last time we called to God asking for him to let us experience him? That we lay down our pride and our humility and said, "Teach me, O Lord. Holy Spirit, pour on me and saturate me. I give you my heart, even if I've given it before. Here it is again. Teach me again the dangerous wonder that it is to experience you, because I want to know you more." Doesn't it feel kind of dangerous to you? It did to me. I think what was funny is that, funny and sad, that I stepped out of the boat at one point in my life. But when the waves got too big, I stepped back in. And we do that. It's not a one-time experience deal. You have to continue to get out, and you have to continue to walk on the water. When somebody hurts you, just like Bob said, you can't hold that inside. You can't let that little tiny ball of bitterness get in your veins and infiltrate your whole body, because pretty soon it affects everything you do in some way. You have to get out of the boat where it's hard and it's vulnerable, and you have to experience healing. One altar call for me was not it. And every time I went up after that in different areas in my life, you know what? In a little sense, it's a little bit embarrassing, because I gave that to God once and somehow I took it back and I had to go give it again. And here's all my friends in college, and here's all the people that I know in church, and here I am kneeling up here at the altar, and they're saying, well, I thought he was a righteous man. I thought he was a water walker. Life with God isn't about a one-time experience. It's about a lifetime of getting out of the boat, and every time you get out of the boat, just like Peter, I bet he was stronger. His faith was stronger. If God asked him to get out again, I bet he'd do it faster. Even if the water was worse, I bet he would do it faster. As we continue to get out of the boat and experience God, as we continue to call to him and say, Lord, let me experience you. He'll come to you. Jeremiah, it says, when you seek me with your whole heart, then you will find me. Do you want to experience God? If you do, you can go through every day of your life looking for it. You can start every morning by asking God, Lord, I want to experience you today. Please call to me. Just like Peter asked Jesus to call to him. I want to take some time, and I want to spend it. We've got an altar up here. I've only been here for a few months, but it hasn't been used yet. I'm going to go pray, and I hope that somebody joins me. Just for the sake of asking God, call me this week. I want to answer. here we are, Father God. We're calling to you. We want to experience you. We want you to call to us. Send your Holy Spirit, Father God, on us right now and all of our lives as we continue to lay ourselves back on the altar for you as we keep crawling off. But here we are, and we pray that you would use us today and use us this week. And that when we come back next week, our faith will be strengthened, Lord. And our family here at Bangor Liberty will be strengthened. We are your servants here this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and for letting us be here for you this morning to experience you and to praise you, Father God. Amen.